Reverend Dr. Ohuneba Enyanipodum is the pastor of the English Chapel of Jesus Generation Ministries, Center of Victory, a thriving congregation in the heart of Accra, Ghana. He serves faithfully under the leadership of Apostle Enyanipodum, the General Overseer of Jesus Generation Ministries worldwide. Dr. Enyanipodum's teachings are simple, practical, inspired by God, and characterized by many testimonies. He holds an annual healing and miracle service, which has witnessed many miracles of healings, signs, and wonders. Testimonies of this are published in his healing magazine titled Healing Springs. Believe God's word, which you are about to hear, receive it, and be blessed. Now, listen to Reverend Dr.
Connect, move from one realm to the other. You are a spirit being. Spirit of the living God, thank you. Honor Jesus. He said, you only say what you hear the Father say. And today we ask that the very heartbeat of the Father, you will transmit to us. Thank you, hide me under the cross. May today be an elevation service for your people. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen and amen. Glory to God. This morning, I'm speaking on in spirit and in truth. Amen. So I'm still doing the spirit series. I started last week on God is spirit. Hallelujah. And today, I'm going to continue it by speaking on in spirit and in truth. Amen. Amen. Shout in spirit and in truth. Shout in spirit and in truth. Gift. I spoke about the different dispensational relationships that has existed between God and man. And last week, I explained to you that three major dispensations existed. The first one was when God related to man by himself. And I read a comment from one of our sisters, Fosti, and that God is spirit, and it was such a confirming and a heartwarming comment. And she said she was in Israel alone with Oheniba, the son. There was no pastor there. There was no prophet there. It was just her by herself and the child. And if she could not access God by the Spirit, then she was going to be in trouble. Because the pastor or the prophet may not get a visa to come to Israel. You find yourself there. But then she took advantage of the dispensational relationship in which we are in, and she assessed every promise of God by the Spirit. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, he said, whereby by these numerous promises we can partake of the divine nature of God in spirit and in truth. According to the first dispensational relationship, in Genesis chapter number 3, verse 8, the Bible says that God came into the garden in the cool of the day. Genesis 3, verse number 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. Spirits would not make sound with their footsteps. So, for them to hear the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden meant that God came to them bodily. Hallelujah. So, for Adam and Eve, the presence of God was stimulated or brought about by the bodily presence of God. Do I make myself clear? The spiritual presence, the atmosphere we have when we worship, when we pray, that atmosphere for Adam and Eve was not brought about by coming to church, singing spiritual songs, speaking in tongues. No, they encountered that when the bodily presence of God came to them. What a glorious way to encounter the spiritual presence of God. Hallelujah. Now, when you read on in Genesis chapter number 18, the Bible speaks about Abraham, that one day sitting under the Tabernacle trees in Mamre, he saw three men, God himself and two angels. And God took a detour to Abraham's house. And the Bible says that he washed their feet. He gave them food to eat. Spirits cannot wash the feet of a spirit. You cannot give a spirit food to eat. So God appeared bodily unto them. Then, verse number 20 of Genesis 18. When God finished with Abraham, he said, "Shall I hide anything from Abraham?" And then he began to tell Abraham what he was going to do. God was en route to Sodom and Gomorrah. And why was God going there? Scripture says in Genesis 18, verse number 20 to 21. And the Lord said, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry." God says, "I will go down now and see." My question is, God is omniscient, isn't it? So couldn't God just have known the state of Sodom by sitting in heaven? He could. But then the modus of relationship then was that God could actually appear to you bodily and show himself to you. And the Bible says he said, "I will go down." So God walked into Sodom with two angels. But when he got into Sodom, if you read or you get my message about the grace of God, where I spoke about Lot and the two angels, you realize that God the Father left him, and the two angels were there alone after he assessed it. So this was the dispensational relationship. What can I say about Jacob? He was one man that had the opportunity to enter into a wrestling match with God himself, until God used his divine powers to dislocate the hip joint of Jacob. The angel of the Lord, God, was in a struggle with a young man. This man not only saw the face of God like Moses, but he handled God. He pushed God down. God would throw him down. He would roll over God. There was, Bible says that in Genesis chapter number 32, and verse number 24. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. A man, say a man. Now when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And the man said to Jacob, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Jacob knew that this was not an ordinary man. No ordinary man can touch your hip and then your acetabula will come out of the joint. No, no ordinary man can do that. Then the man said to Jacob, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And then he said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." That was the day Laban lost every fight against Jacob. That was the day anybody, Esau, anybody that could come in contention with Jacob lost the fight. Because herein is God saying to Jacob after a wrestling match that you have struggled with God and with men and you have prevailed. He said, "Henceforth your name shall be called Israel." And the Bible says, when Jacob left the place, the sun rose up on him. Verse number 30, Jacob said, he called the name of the place Peniel, for he said, "I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." So we have the confirmations in that scripture that that man that wrestled with Jacob was not an ordinary man, but God. The Bible talks about another man called Enoch, Genesis chapter 5 verse 21. And the Bible says, Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch began to walk with God. Enoch walked with God 300 years. And when it was time for him to die, the intimacy of his walk with God was so strong that God judged that death was not worthy to lay hands on Enoch. Therefore, Bible says God took him. So scripture says, and all the days of Enoch's life was 365 years, and he was not. Why? Because God took him. When you read all the preceding verses, it says, and all the days of the life of this man was 300 and something years, and he died. But when you go to Enoch, the Bible says, and he was not. Death was not a worthy subject. Death was not a worthy career to take that man who had walked with God. And I can bet my last dollar on this, that the 300 years that Enoch walked with God, it was not only spiritual visions that God had with him. I am sure in that 300 years, God revealed himself bodily to Enoch. The Bible says he so much walked in habitual fellowship with God, like a man who walked with his partner. Oh, what a blessed dispensational relationship. But not all men benefited from this. Jacob was born a twin with Esau, and we never saw God revealing himself unto Esau. So the Bible says the second dispensation began to unfold. In Hebrews chapter number 1 and verse number 1, we're going to read that. But the last person of the first dispensation, I want to believe, was the prophet Moses. Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 34 verse 7 onwards, it said Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days. Verse number 10. But since then, there has not risen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord God knew face to face. Moses drew the curtains on the first dispensational relationship. Moses is not the only man that God knew face to face. We read in Genesis 32, Jacob said, I have seen God face to face. I have wrestled with God, and my life has been preserved. Abraham washed the feet of God, not only just his face, but washed his feet. So when Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 34, he says, but since the death of Moses, nobody, whether you are a prophet, whether you are in Israel, the chosen, the preferred, whether you are in any part of the world, he said, nobody was known by God, or did God reveal himself to face to face. So that was the end of the first dispensation. Then the second dispensation began, scripture says, in Hebrews chapter number 1, verse number 1, that God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke to the fathers in the past through his prophets. Now the New King James says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. That was the beginning of the second dispensation. Pastor, come. That was the beginning of the second dispensation. God, who at various times and in various places spoke in the past to the fathers through his prophets. So this dispensation, God decided that I ain't going to talk to the people by myself anymore. I'm not going to show my face to them. But there were sporadic appearances of angels even after the first dispensation, all right? Because even when, before Samson's birth was announced by an angel, and then that angel was the angel of the Lord. When the wife said, the mother, Mrs. Manoah said, tell us your name. And he said, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? Angels are not called wonderful. The Bible says in Isaiah, he said, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Glory to Jesus. He said, of the increase, verse number 7, Isaiah 9, of the increase of his government, he said, there shall be no end. The zeal of the Lord shall perform this. Hallelujah. So even though there were sporadic appearances of angels along the way, a new dispensation started, and that was the season of the prophets. That is why Amos would say in Amos chapter 3 verse number 7 that God will do nothing except he reveals it to his sons the prophet. That scripture does not hold today in all its fullness, because scripture says in 1 Corinthians 2 verse number 9, he said, even though it is written that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love him. Verse number 10 says, but God has revealed those things to us by his spirit. When we remain in the realm of the spirit, the things that were hidden from men and only revealed to prophets become revealed unto us because we dwell in the spirit. So the scripture of Amos 3:7 that God will do nothing except he reveals this to his sons the prophets was for a certain dispensation. Hebrews 1:1 we said, God who at various times and in various places spoke to our fathers in the past through the prophets. And I'm going to be teaching you even that second verse showed a change of dispensation. But in the time of the prophets, that were the great dependency era. Men were so dependent on prophets. A whole nation, you dare not go to war without consulting the prophet. Your economic situation in your country could only be changed by the prophet. 2 Kings chapter number 6, verse number 8 to 12. The Bible says, now the king of Syria was making war against Israel. And he consulted with his servant, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Verse 10. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God, Elisha, told him. And thus he warned him. He was watchful there, not just once or twice. Verse 11. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. Say, what a shock. Say, what a shock. Say, what a prolonged shock. Israel was delivered not once, not twice, three times or more by the word of a prophet. Come on. The entire nation. Were there no people praying? They had army men. They had missiles. They were ready to defend themselves. But if they did not wait to hear from the prophet of God, they were going to suffer defeat. The Bible says, he told them, don't go into this place. Don't go into that place. Because your enemy is coming. My question is, were there no believers there praying? Why didn't God listen to them? That was the era. That was the prescribed mode of relationship. God decided to empty himself into the prophets. Hallelujah. 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 God decided not to show his face anymore and to empty himself into the prophets. So people became dependent on them. Even war. I told you last week, Saul was waiting for the prophet Samuel before he could attack. The Philistines were encroaching. The Bible says the men of Israel, their hearts were shaking, but they could not do anything. You see, in 2 Kings, same scripture, chapter 6, verse 25, Bible says there was great famine in Samaria. And they besieged it until a donkey's head. Say a donkey's head. Can I hear you louder? Say a donkey's head. See, the famine was so great that a donkey's head was sold for 8 shekels of silver. That is 24 cents per a shekel of silver. 24 cents of a dollar. So times 8 is going to give us how much? Even if it's 25, then we are talking about 200, isn't it? So almost $200 for the head of a donkey. That was how severe the famine was. He says that, and 1/4 of a cup of dove droppings. The droppings, make it too diplomatic. The feces of a dove. A brand new man in the toilet. Mary, I can't say that. Hallelujah. The 1/4 of a cup of a dove droppings was sold for 5 shekels. So we pay $100. About a cent. $1. So the first one is $2 for the head of a donkey. $1 for a bird feces. People had nothing to eat. People were dependent. They were eating donkey's head and bird feces. That was how expensive bird feces was. Verse 26 says, the king of Israel was passing one day by a wall, and a woman cried out unto him, saying, you should help them. And the king said, what is troubling you? Then she answered, this woman said, give, let us eat your son today, so that tomorrow we'll kill my son and then eat my son. That was how strong the famine was. The women started killing their fresh babies to eat. There was no food. So two women were in agreement and said, Paddy, today we'll kill my baby. Let's eat. Let's eat all the liver, the heart. Let's chew the bones. It was a baby. They were going to die. So they began to eat their children. That was how bad the famine was. And then the next day, we'll kill yours. So they killed this one. Women, not the men. The women went to the kitchen, slaughtered the baby's head, cooked the baby, and they ate. That day, they ate. The food was made of a donkey's head, dove feces, and a baby's body. They ate. Then the next day, that soup lasted 2 days. So the third day, they went to the other woman and said, give us your child. Let's kill and eat. Then she said no. The woman saw she had been tricked. So when the king of Israel was passing by, she screamed, help me! He said, how can I help you? So the woman made us kill my child to eat. We've eaten. He said, okay, that's fine. We are all eating children. Then, we have to eat hers. And then he says, no. Then the king was angry and said he was going to look for Elisha and kill. When your national GDP is low, when your economic status is affected, is it not the economist you find to talk about it? Why is he saying he's going to look for Elisha? That was the season they were in. Dependency on prophets. Dependency on God's people. So the Bible says that they met Elisha. He was there. And he gave a prophetic word. And I just want to teach you that before I go on. Elisha gave a prophetic word unto them and said, tomorrow morning. So when you read chapter 7 verse 1 and then we go to 16 to 18. He said, tomorrow morning by this time, the price for grain will be so cheap everybody can buy it. The price for foodstuffs will be so cheap everybody can buy it. The men, the people in the city were not happy. One of the king's elders could not believe it, but that's not my sermon today. What happened is that 2 Kings 6, 7, 16 downwards, he said, and it happened just as the man of God said it. Now what I'm trying to say is that when the women were killing their children, wasn't God around? Didn't God see? Wasn't he moved by that? Couldn't he just stop the famine? Divinity thrives in order. The prescriptions of God will not be mutated to satisfy your personal pleasure. No, when we get to heaven, God will not lower the bar and say, because your children were in America. No. People were dying, but his prescribed mode for preaching was he had to do it through the prophets. So even though the woman was killing the child and eating yesterday, hallelujah. That was the dispensation. Terror, troubles. But then, another dispensation came. And I told you last time, that was a dispensation of the Spirit. Now, before the dispensation of the Spirit. The dispensation of his Son came. So we can edit that and say, put the dispensation of Christ. Let's try to separate him from the prophets. So in Hebrews chapter number 1, verse number 1 to 2, the Bible says, God, who at various times and in various places spoke in times past to the fathers, verse 2, has now spoken to us by his Son. So the time of speaking to men through the prophets changed, and God spoke to people now through and by his Son. That was the dispensation. He came, he called 12 people, he lived with them, he taught them things. There were issues like in the times of the prophets, when people wanted healing for their children, they had to find where Jesus was. God had a plan. And that is what I want you to learn. God had a plan. Glory to Jesus. The Bible says in John chapter 4, verse number 3, and he must needs go through Samaria. Why must God go through Samaria? It was so emphatic. He must needs go through Samaria. Because Jesus, as we're going to find in the last verses of John 4, Jesus was set to do the will of his Father. You see, and he needed to go through Samaria because the dispensation of the prophets was about to end. And as I explained to you last time, he met a woman. And after they spoke for a while, the woman was confused about the sacredness of worship places and certain altars and certain special men of God, and said, this is the place Jacob gave to us. Jacob himself, the covenant child, Jacob himself. And we've been coming here to pray, but the Jews are telling us that we cannot be praying here. God will not hear us. What do you say about it? We got to come to Jerusalem on Mount Moriah. Then Jesus said to her, woman, salvation indeed came from the Jews, but I have something to tell you. The times are changing. The systems are turning around. He said, the hour is coming. The hour is coming. The hour is coming. And I explained to you, and I still stand on it, it was not a figurative expression. It was a literal translation of what he was witnessing in the heavens. The reason why he said he must needs go to Samaria. If it was figurative, then he could have gone on to Galilee, do what he was doing before he went back into Samaria. But he said, I must needs go to Samaria. Why? Because the thing was time bound. What was happening in Samaria was time bound. So he said he needed to go. Jesus is going to preach in Galilee. And he said, guys, you know, I have to be a Samaria. Couldn't he wait? The Bible says, and he needed to go. So he said, the time is coming, and the hour is now. When the true worshipers shall worship God in spirit and in truth. Lady, you don't need to travel all the way to Jerusalem anymore. Before this time, you had to go. But now that the time has come, you don't need to go to Jerusalem anymore. Lady, you actually don't need to see any special Jewish prophet anymore. For the time is coming, and the time is now, when the true worshipers shall worship God in spirit and in truth. Jesus abolished the predilection to geographical areas of interest when it comes to worshiping God. People leave America, if you don't know, get on a plane, come to Ghana and travel to Accra. God is spirit. What if the plane had an air crash on the way? You will go to heaven, and that is where your foolishness will stare at you. That God was not situated in Accra. God is spirit. time for dependency on the prophets ended. Hebrews 1, verse number 1 and 2, it says, God, who at various times and in various places had spoken to the fathers through his prophets, has in this time spoken to us by his Son, Jesus, and not any other man. Yesterday we were somewhere preaching and I said, Jesus was the only man who could fulfill the requirements of the law to the maximum to create the necessary ambient temperature for the coming in of the Holy Ghost. No other man could make the spiritual atmosphere conducive to welcome the Holy Spirit. So Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, for it is through Jesus or through Christ we have access to the Father by the Spirit. The Spirit will not come into being if Jesus did not come. No man, not Moses, not Elijah, not Elisha, could satisfy the requirements of the law to allow the Spirit of God to come. The Bible says in Romans chapter 7, last verses, it says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Then he says, thanks be to God or to Jesus who has delivered me from this. 8 verse 1, he says, Therefore there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who live according to what? The Spirit, and not according to the flesh. Jesus was the necessary precursor for the coming of the Holy Ghost, the next and final dispensation before the return of Christ. The hour is coming, and the hour is now, when true worshipers will worship him in spirit and in truth. You have no business identifying yourself with the new ministry on the city. People run to one prayer camp, the other prayer camp, and you see lots of people and you realize that none of them are learning. I want you to be a people that learn. I want to be a people who know God for themselves. In Samaria, that city, John 4, the Bible says that the woman ran into the city and said, O man, Samaria, one bro, one voshe, benyinibia, mehunu, wasi, wakame suma semnina, achrami. So now I'm saying, now nimnu ana, I'm nimnu da. O man, Samaria, one bro, one voshe, O man, Samaria, Womro wombete benyini bia mehunu minyimnu nansuwa kamesuma semachrem. Hey, benyini bia mehunu minsia no dao waka sama atomiye. O man Samaria, Womro Womoshe, O man Samaria, Womro Wombeti, Benyini Bia Mehunu, Wafren O Yesu, Waka Sama Atomi. She had come from 5 failed marriages. Benyini Bia Mehunu. She didn't have a husband. She couldn't come to the well with the other women. Your story will change. Oh, friend, oh, yes. What man think about you does not matter. That was what Jesus was trying to say. He said, woman, before your encounter with me, you had to go to Jerusalem. You had to go and look for Peter. You had to go and look for some people. but not anymore. You know? Jesus. Then the men of the city ran. They ran. They ran. They couldn't doubt her testimony. Well, she was the worst of them all. And she had to hide from them all. But she exposed herself to every ridicule that they could think of. And she had a testimony. She said, before you criticize, hear what I have to say. I met a man who says, our various troubles to Israel will end today. I met a man. Do you remember when Auntie Agua and the children were going to pray on the mountain and they were attacked by robbers? He said, it is no longer necessary to go and chase Prophet 1 or Prophet 2 or go to Israel or go to South Africa or Prophet Obama or Prophet Obidim or Prophet whatever. Whoever it is, they are no special men in this time. You are not common. And they ran. And when they got there, they saw him. And the people said, we believed because of what he said. And when you read down, he said, now, we believe more because we have encountered him for ourselves. You need a personal encounter with the man Jesus Christ, the prelude for the coming of the Spirit of God. This is Joel chapter number 2, verse 28. Scripture says, and in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, not on Israelites, not on Gentiles, not on people from Canada, not on people from America. It says on all flesh. And when this thing happens, something will begin to take place. Sons and daughters, are there any sons and daughters here? The Bible says that because I pour the spirit upon all flesh, sons and daughters will begin to prophesy. Can I hear you prophesy? Say something in the name of Jesus, and it's going to happen for you. You don't need a prophet to minister to you in this time, because Hebrews 1:1-2 shows that the time of the prophet have ended, and it's now the time of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So in Acts chapter number 10, the Bible says there was a man called Cornelius, and he prayed. He wanted an encounter, but he had no man. He had no man. So from the verse number 9, they sent men to Peter. Peter was a strong Jew. Peter was one of the people that said, so mommy, Peter was one of the people that said that God drive that woman from Canaan, from us, because we are having a time with God. Peter was strong-willed. They thought that the thing belonged to them. But there was something that made Jesus go to Samaria and move that woman from her house in bright noonday, not minding what the people would say. And that was something that God was doing. The Bible says, Peter upstairs praying. And he was hungry. He was hungry. And then he fell into a trance. Then God showed him four-legged creatures. They don't like those creatures. And God said, kill and eat. And Peter said, it is unclean. It is unclean. Then the Bible said, God said to him that you shall not arise. That's very good. You shall not call anything that I have cleansed unclean or common. People of God, I came to tell you are not common. You are not unclean. We have been washed, cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus. And that thing takes us away from where we used to be into a new place where we got to be. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 11. He said, therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by those who were called circumcision by the flesh. At that time, you were without Christ, being aliens of the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now, verse number 13, say, but now. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off has been brought near by the blood of Christ. Verse number 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made two one and has broken the middle wall or partition that was between us. 18, for through him we both have access by one spirit to the Father. You have access. 19 says, therefore, you are no longer strangers. Say, I'm no longer a stranger. Say, I'm no longer a foreigner, but fellow citizens. Say, you are a citizen. Say, I am a citizen. I am a citizen. Says, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. Continue. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, then who came? Jesus Christ himself, being the chief corner. You see the dispensations that came? The prophetic came, and then Jesus came. Then go down, you see the Spirit. In whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom, 22, you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God The foundational times and dispensations began with the apostles and the prophets, then went on to Jesus. But now in the end, you are being built up into a habitation for God in the Spirit. So you have no business carrying yourself 10 years back. You have no business carrying yourself to the dispensations that have gone past. No, there are no special men and women of God. You have the Spirit of God in you. Acts 10, I'll go back to Peter, and then I'll be closing. Verse number 19. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit of God said to him, behold, three men are seeking for you. Arise! Therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Sing it for me. Peter was questioning why he had to go. God said, don't call anything I have cleansed unclean or common. Arise, go with them, doubting nothing. When he entered the house of Cornelius, he said something that I want you. Actually, Acts 10, 24. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and he called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet. But Peter said something. He said, stand up, for I myself, I am a man like you. The Peter that said, drive away that woman from Canaan. Today, he says, I myself, I am a man like you. What was Peter trying to say? Peter was trying to say one thing. He said, there are no special religions or races anymore. There are no special people anymore. There are no special privileges anymore. Cornelius, I am a man like you. Listen, not in the sense of him being a man and that he's a man, but in the sense that I am like you. Even if you are a Gentile, we are all the same. Not as in I'm a man and you a woman. No. He says, I am like you. I am not special. You don't need to bow down to me. But earlier on, when Saul was looking for his father's donkeys, he had to give money to the prophet Samuel before he would deliver the information where the donkeys were. But now, they went and bowed. He said, don't bow. We are the same. Cornelius, you have been brought to where we are. Peter said to Cornelius, don't bow. Don't bow. The time has changed. We are the same. Then, when Peter started to talk, he said something that interests me. Verse number 28. The first thing he said, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with another, any man from another country. The thing was serious. The thing I'm trying to teach you is a very serious thing. He said, you know how? It is unlawful. Why is it unlawful? The people of Israel, Abraham's children, they were the privileged few. But the thing changed. God became your God and my God. We all became Israelites. Now, there is no particular sect of people, Jewish people, who are. Now there is the Israel of God. So Paul said, in Christ Jesus, there is neither male nor female. All right. So Jesus said that thou shalt worship him in spirit and in truth. How do we worship in spirit and in truth? That is what I want to teach, and I'll close. Number one, the spirit of truth is the Holy Ghost. True spiritual worship can only be accomplished in the atmosphere of his spirit. True spiritual worship can only be accomplished in the atmosphere of the Holy Ghost. There are no human words. There are no human actions. There are no human dances and formations of choreography. No matter the drama you put into it, that can ascend to the topmost of sanctimonious and purified true worship. No human words can do that. So when Jesus said, "This I worship in spirit and in truth," he led them to one key, the Holy Ghost. True worship can only be achieved through the Holy Ghost. So Romans 8:26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how we ought to pray." Emphasis added, how we should worship, how we should go before God, we don't know. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the origin of spiritual worship, such as God seeks, is in the Holy Ghost. There's no form of human effort. No matter what you do, with uncontrollable tears, screaming, rolling on the floor, you can still not achieve the status of pure, undefiled true worship. No. How do we worship God? In spirit and in truth. The first thing I said is that it is worship to God through the Holy Ghost. Number two, it is to remember that we didn't once matter and we have been engrafted in. What you should know is that once we were not a people, once we were aliens of the commonwealth of Israel, those who had God to themselves, but now we have been brought in. When people are shown mercy, they love more. That is what the Lord said. So when you remember that once your prayer should not matter, but now you have been given access to the Father, then you want to do it better unto him. Number three, how do we worship in spirit and in truth? It is to do away with special places and special people. Jesus said to the woman, neither in Jerusalem nor in Samaria are you required to worship. You see, there is no place that your blessing is. It is in the spirit. There is no place. There is no special place. It is in the spirit. Ephesians chapter 1 says that God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I think that's the verse number 3. There is no place. You see, God is not waiting for a program to bless you. God is not waiting for prophet, aka whatever, to organize a 1-week program where you bring oil and white handkerchiefs before he will bless you. God wants to bless you now. God wants an encounter with you now. He's not waiting for your pastor to organize a convention before he blesses you. No, he will bless you in that program, but he is not waiting for that. Because God is spirit. Because the times have changed. How do we worship God in spirit and in truth? Number 4. It is to know that you are not common. Say, I'm not common. You don't need any sensational man of God to speak to God on your behalf. You can do that today. You are not ordinary. Scripture says in 1 John chapter 4 verse 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It is important for you to rule out any form of self-pity and unbelief when you approach the throne of glory, knowing that you are not common. Shout, I am not common. Shout, I'm too special to be abused by that man of God. These my teachings may create war. There is no man of God. You see, sometimes what these prophets do is to try and tie you to become dependent on them and to become like a slave. They don't want you to be free. It's a lie. It's a lie. Galatians chapter 4, verse 5. He says that the reason why we are able to cry, Abba Father, is that the Spirit of Jesus has been put in us. Okay? So 1 John 4 said that ye are of God, little children, and you have overcome him. Why? Because greater is he that is in you. There is something in you. Actually, I'll rephrase, there is somebody in you. The scripture in Galatians I quoted, the Spirit of Jesus is in you. What things knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of that man? Likewise, the Spirit of God knoweth the things of God. The Spirit of God is in you. There's no special, you have to come to me so that I will be able to pray with you and give you some direction. It does not exist in the dispensation in which we are. God is Spirit. From the hills of Kilimanjaro to the Kuli valleys in India, from the icy lands of Iceland and Greenland to the terrible sun in the northern hemisphere of Ghana, God can be assessed. God is Spirit. How do we worship God in spirit and in truth? It is to know that you are not common. It is to know that true spiritual worship can only be birthed via the Holy Ghost. Worship leaders, true worship is not ad-libbing. Oh, never knew. Yeah, never took. Yeah, never did. Yeah. What a shock. Canal man. True spiritual worship is only accomplished by the Holy Ghost. Likewise, the Spirit. We do not know how to pray, but the Spirit himself maketh intercessions, teaches us how to do it, does it on our behalf if we remain in him. How? You are not common. Don't allow any man of God to let you feel you are common. Jesus said to Peter, don't call anything I have cleansed common. Mommy, I didn't do what you know. I knew you in Bible 3 days. Go back. Fancy you, Vortic, in Kitwa, me and Sabra. I don't know you, me and Sabra. Go back. You will lose money and you will still go home with the things that are following you. If you do not decide to grow and see God, you will be at the behest of men of God every day. You are expected to grow in the Lord. Paul said, at the time when you should be teachers, you are still babies. Teach like this, and you see people, that is when their sleep centers become activated, when you are teaching. Hey, hallelujah, hallelujah. Work out thy own salvation with fear and trembling. The key for trembling is a humpupo. You are not common. One time, King Ahab had 400 prophets by him. That is utter nonsense. You know why? Two things. He does not have time for God himself, or he feels that he is not adequate enough to speak to God. God is Spirit. To worship God in spirit and in truth, number one, is via the Holy Ghost. Number two is to put away. Remember that you didn't matter. Number three, do away with special places and people. On Sunday, I'm going to be teaching about removing the middleman. Our relationship with God is one of a direct contract. There should be no middleman between God and us. And you know the other thing, Joe, your relationship with God is not a prepaid contract. It is postpaid. It's not pay as you go. Today you come, you run out of credit, then you go again. No. You have a perpetual relationship with God. Postpaid by the blood of Jesus. I want to tell you, like Fosty said, when you were alone somewhere, don't shout, "Give me my phone! Call me doctor!" No. No. I may be somewhere that I don't even want to answer a phone. I am not God. Any preacher you see trying to behave like he's a magician, fear him. Preachers are not magicians. Preachers are not soothsayers. Preachers are servants and ordinary men like you who come to show you the way that they have been on. And today, I want to encourage you. Step away from childish behaviors of depending on men. There's a new prophet in town. They say he can look at you and mention your date of birth. So what? He can mention your date of birth. Malams can mention your date of birth. Psychics can mention your date of birth. There's a new prophet. Yes, this is what vampire modern is at. Tosu say. Ninsan ever tosu no. This is about 4,500 Ghana. Now, you are making some tricksters rich. They buy land we cannot buy. Yes, they get properties we cannot get. Because the masses follow blindly. And you that follow truth do not value it. I came to encourage you. They said your sister is sick home. Go lay hands on that sickness. Not your pastor. You. And say in the mighty name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, I rebuke you to go. And it's God. God is spirit. We need to worship God in spirit and in truth. I remember when Collins' wife was pregnant. She said, "I had a dream." I said, "Don't worry. There is no amount of demonic acrobatics that can touch the miracle of God. We have left that era. You know where we are?" She said, "The prince of the world cometh, but he has nothing in me." Satan has no hook on you to catch you. Unless you yield to him. You are making people rich. Hallelujah. God is spirit. You don't read your Bible. You don't pray. You don't spend time. Then you hear there's this man here, then you follow. Then here there's another one here, you follow. What a acrobatic show. God is spirit. Worship him in spirit and in truth. Glory to God. Bow down your heads. The God that gave me my miracle, that God will give you a miracle. You see, at the time when I put my hope in men of God, my miracle never came. And I'm happy it didn't. Because then they would have laid claim that it was by their prayer. But God decided to do it when we were alone. Bible says in Genesis 32:24, "And when Jacob was alone, there appeared a man that wrestled him." When you are alone, when you have removed every middleman, don't miss Sunday. I'm preaching at 8. Removing the middleman. He says, we have access. You have access to the Father. Jesus appeared and said, your miracle is done. Da, 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 da. Bow down your heads. Evaluate your life spiritually. Yeah. Mm. da 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 be 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 da da di da da di da. God is spirit. God is spirit. Talk to him. He can hear you. You don't need that special, special man of God to talk to God on your behalf. Begin to pray. You must needs begin to speak to him. You don't want to be thrown about by men on every side. It's time.
Trust you've been blessed by God's word. We invite you to be part of our victory services every Sunday from 7 a.m. You can find us behind Opportunity International, adjacent Vodafone Ghana, Kwame Nkrumah Circle. Follow us on Twitter at @JJM_EC and like our Facebook page, JJM_EC. For further correspondence, email englishchapel@gmail.com. God bless you.